Hey, welcome everyone. This is Eddie Aparicio, and I'm joined here by my co-host Anthony Tuan Corral, and this is Buzzer Beaters. Buzzer Beaters is a podcast that's dedicated to basketball with an emphasis on the NBA. Buzzer Beaters is a property of grumblingsmedia.com. You can find us at grumblingsmedia.com, Rumble, YouTube, under the profile Grumblings Media, as well as traditional podcast outlets such as Spotify, Google, Apple, and Pandora. So the format of this show is that if this is your first time watching, is that Tuan and I pick two topics each, and then we host each other's two topics. Last week, we had intended to do this. So for those of you who watched Buzzer Beaters episode 4, we actually intended to cover more topics, but we had technical difficulties. So we only were able to cover the Draymond Green topic, but we intended to cover three other topics, of which we're going to cover today and then add one other topic. So for today's show, I'm going to go ahead and host the playoff matchups. You know, in episode 2, Tuan and I had made predictions for each of the series, and we're going to see how we're doing on those predictions up to this point. We're going to go through each series matchup, see what's standing out for us. You know, what developments are happening, injuries, key injuries, because there's injuries happening, you know, for each series. And it's just a war of attrition right now for some teams. But we'll go through all that. So that's one of the topics I'm going to cover. The second topic I'm going to cover is a few weeks ago, Jontay Porter got banned from the NBA for some gambling violations that he did. So the NBA went ahead and banned him. We're going to talk about the fairness of the ban. Was he set as an example? You know, because they definitely cracked down on him pretty hard, and he's only the second person in the NBA that got banned. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Tuan, I know you had two topics you want to cover. I'll hand it over to you as far as cover those topics.
Absolutely, yeah. So the first topic that I'm going to cover is going to be, you know, that now that the season's over for the Warriors, they got some decisions to make. What are they going to do in terms of the salary cap? Where are they? We're going to have a couple of nerd stats in there just in terms of where they're at. What can they do? Is there hope for them to kind of revive? I don't want to say revive the dynasty, but become a, you know, the possibility to win a championship team with the existing squad, or are they going to have to do something else? So we're going to go and talk about that. There's also some players that, you know, the Warriors could potentially pick up and maybe change their outlook for the season. And then the second topic that I have is regarding Steph, LeBron, and I guess you could add KD now that those three are kind of not in the playoffs or out. You know, we're going to start looking at the changing of the guard. I think it's something we're actually seeing right now when we talk a little bit more about it when we get to the playoff matchups. So who's the new face of the NBA? You know, if those guys are kind of on their way out, who's up and coming and who might be the face for the next 5 to 10 years? So those are the two topics that I have.
All right. And our intent is to go about an hour each topic, covering about 15 minutes. Some topics going to be a little less than that. Other topics going to be a little bit more. I have a feeling that probably this is going to happen this week. So, and by the way, just so you know, Tuan and I got interviewed by Big John on Big Questions by Big John. So if you haven't seen the podcast, Big John interviewed us. And if you haven't seen that introduction, it is freaking top quality introduction. It's awesome, man. So you got to just, if you just watch that clip, it's awesome. If you don't want to, like, if you just get bored by us, just watch that clip over and over again. I guarantee you're going to laugh a few times. So, but anyway, without any further delay, let's get into it, Tuan.
Yep.
So playoffs, man.
Yes.
You know, when we discussed, you know, these predictions at the time in week two, it was just the play-in guys that were playing at that time, right? And then we went ahead and, you know, made predictions for each of the series. And then, you know, we figured out, like, by which game, you know, the winner would win by. And then, I said I'll keep track of the points and all that. And, you know, so, you know, a lot has happened since that because, you know, last week we would have covered this. But, you know, unfortunately we had technical difficulties. So now we're going over it today. So let's go. So one thing that is for sure is that we both picked the Sixers and Miami to come out as the 7 and 8 seeds, which happened.
Correct.
We both picked the Lakers to come out as the 7th seed, but then we lost on the Warriors, right? We picked the Warriors being the 8th seed.
Some homerism show.
It's homerism, you know, and you're wearing a shirt to show it, right? You're showing your colors, man. It's all right.
Yeah.
But, you know, so you know, that's what happened since the last podcast that we talked about the playoffs. So now we're going to go through each of the series. So in the East, the Celtics right now, I picked them to win in five. You picked them to win in seven. Right now, it's 3-1 Celtics. Yes. All right. So it looks like I'm looking pretty good on that one, right?
You are looking pretty good.
So what do you, let me ask you this. Before we get into kind of like how we're doing on the standings, what did you, what's your big takeaways from that game so far, you know, that you've seen?
Well, the big takeaway, you know, and we talked about this in previous podcasts, is the Celtics sort of laissez-faire attitude kind of sometimes on the basketball court.
It definitely comes out. Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, Miami hasn't been able to take full advantage of it. Obviously, Jimmy Butler's been hurt. He's not going to play. I mean, you know, I don't remember if I knew he was hurt when we made the predictions or not, but I'm not going to run for my predictions. That's what I predicted. But so he's, I think if Jimmy Butler was playing, this may be 3-2 somewhere, or I guess 2-2, I guess in this case it would be, or something closer than what it is right now. But, you know, no surprises here. You and I both picked the Celtics to win the whole thing. But their cavalier attitude is making me a little nervous about that prediction.
It definitely comes out, man. You can see it. You know, they get bored. They kind of just kind of go, hey, we're good enough to win. And they are. And they're lucky that they're a deep team. You know, they're not necessarily totally 100% dependent on Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum for success. No. I mean, those guys, if they're rolling and you have maybe like a Derek White, you know, who's rolling. He did the last game. He was rolling last game. You know, they're great. But the only problem here, Tuan, is that Kristaps Porzingis got hurt, man, in the last game. We don't know if it's, he's getting an MRI, I think, tomorrow to see how severe it is. And, you know, you fear, they know that it's not a rupture of the Achilles, which is, you know, what they feared might have happened with Giannis in the Bucks series. But I think he averted disaster with that. But if it's any indication of what the injury like Giannis has, he's going to be out multiple games, man. So they're lucky that they have depth. So, you know, but you're right. Their laissez-faire attitude could get them in trouble. But their talent is going to overcome, I think, this series. And I think they're going to win in the next game. So,
well, yeah, if Porzingis is out multiple games, I mean, depending on how quickly they dispose of the Heat, and, you know, but the next round may prove to be a little bit challenging if Porzingis is out for any length of time in that second.
Absolutely, because he was a key addition to that team. You know, early in the year when he started, I mean, he was rolling. I mean, when you have him, Jaylen Brown, and Jason Tatum all rolling, they're unstoppable because of their depth, right? I mean, they're unstoppable. But now without him, we'll see. I mean, hopefully they'll grind down a little bit and take things more seriously because they're down one of their main guys. So, all right, so let's go to the next series in the East, the Knicks versus the Sixers, yes. Right? Now, you picked the Knicks in seven. I picked the, no, actually, I picked you the picked, no, I picked the Knicks. Sorry, yes. My bad. Yep. You picked the Sixers. I picked the Knicks. Yes. You picked the Sixers in seven. I picked the Knicks in seven. So yes. Right now, you know, the game just ended tonight. Yes. So the
exciting won. Game for those who
did. It was a good game. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, the Maxie, series now
Maxie's
is
a, Maxie's a stud, bro.
He is a stud.
Right,
he is a stud.
Yeah, is a stud.
He is a stud. And you know what? He was in the same draft class as James Wiseman, by the way. Did you know that?
As who? Dang. James Wiseman?
Yeah. 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 Well, we'll digress. Anyway, but Knicks, they were up 3-1. They lost tonight against the Sixers. So now that series is 3-2. And, you know, it's looking like it's going to be a long series, man, because they're, you know, man. Joel Embiid, you know, he got into a lot of turnover issues tonight, but he's still a beast. Man. And there's nobody there that really can stop him, right? I mean, they have guys that can throw at him, but nobody in the NBA can stop him. And if he gets his, you know, if he really is rolling, they're tough to beat. So what are your main takeaways that you've seen in that series other than what I just brought up?
Yeah, well, you know, obviously they're going back to Philadelphia for the next game. So yep. I think that one of us, I think it's going to go seven. And again, just to add on to your statement about Embiid, he plays a little careless. I thought I was watching Curry out there with the ball a couple of times. But, you know, the thing that stood out to me was Embiid is the leader, but Maxey's challenging that. Maxey's challenging kind of head and dog in that pack. And so that's going to be interesting. I mean, I think Embiid is he's a team player. You know, they'll do what they need to do to get that. But I was really, really impressed with Maxey. Just in today's game and the last couple of games. And I think we'll talk a little bit about that in terms of just forecasting for one of the topics, which is the new face of the NBA. I think he's a possibility.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, and the thing is, the Sixers, the reason why they got rid of James Harden is because of the emergence of this guy. You know, in some regard, James Harden was hindering his development, you know, yeah. Because James Harden is, you know, a guy that needs the ball in his hands. He's a facilitator. He's a damn good player. But, you know, Tyrese Maxey, you know, was kind of felt like he, you know, couldn't really be who he really wanted to be if James Harden was there. And I think the team saw that, and that's why they shipped him out. It's kind of the same thing like the, you know, with the Warriors, with Monte Ellis and Stephen Curry. It's kind of the same dynamic. You know, one had to go in order for the other one to flourish. So this is, I think, what's happening with Tyrese Maxey. So, remind me
when we talk about the Warriors, remind me about Philadelphia and, you know, the possibility that they could be interested in someone like Draymond Green.
Oh, for sure. There's anybody in the East would be very interested in a Draymond Green, but we'll definitely get there, man, for sure. Yeah. So, all right. So let's go to the next series. So we have the Pacers and the Bucks. You picked the Pacers to win it. And then I picked the Bucks. Now, of course, when I picked the Bucks, I knew that Giannis was hurt, but I thought Giannis would come back at some point in the series, right? Yep. That hasn't happened yet. Yep. And then, you know, you got Bobby Portis who got ejected last game. You know, then they had, Chris Middleton's essentially he's carrying that squad right now. You know, he missed out with his groin injury too. So without Lillard and Giannis, they're screwed, right? I mean, and that's. You know, I wasn't counting on that happening, right?
No, I'm getting lucky on that one, but, you know.
Yeah, but you know what, though? I'll tell you one thing that really stands out for me in that series, and this is the thing. I think this is the reason why you picked the Pacers. The Pacers are this, you know, this generation's run TMC, man. They are, period. They just run you up and down the court. And if they could shoot threes like they were doing the last game, the whole series, it's lights out. They're going to go a long way if they can sustain that, right?
Yeah.
They're just a fast moving pace team. They're young, they're youthful. Like, and the one thing I wanted to just point out is that there seems to be a change in the guard happening right now, man. You know, you have these young, youthful teams that are overtaking these established, you know, teams, you know, that, you know, some of these guys, like, you know, we haven't got to the West yet, but, you know, there's been these, you know, eliminations already, you know, by the Clippers, you know, the Suns were eliminated, and then the Lakers, you know, were just eliminated, right? So, but that's just to reinforce my changing of the guard. These younger, youthful teams, they're showing their speed, and this is definitely evident in this series with the Pacers and the Bucks.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, the Bucks aren't that much of the old guard, but they are older than the Pacers. And so I agree that the youth is really showing itself, which is really exciting for the future of the NBA. I think, you know, they want to have that because, you know, you don't want to hold on to guys like LeBron and Steph until they're 40 and being the face of the NBA. You want the young bucks to come in and start doing some damage. And that looks like it's happening.
Oh yeah. And you know, I'll tell you, a player who's like really kicking ass, man, is Miles Turner.
Yes.
Miles Turner, the center. You know, from University of Texas, man. I know that was the guy that I really, really liked, man. I thought he'd be a great fit for the Warriors. But he's showing off. I mean, he's showing up big time, man. I mean, that dude is a freaking beast.
Yes.
Offensively, guy, he can shoot and he can play defense like nobody's business.
No,
but you know, I got to tell you, I was impressed with Brook Lopez. He showed up last game like the old Brook Lopez of when he played for the Brooklyn Nets, right? He was a good scoring center at the time and played little D, and now he's the opposite. He's a great defensive guy and just more of a 3-and-D guy, but he had to resort back to his old self in this matchup to have the Bucks have any chance without Lillard and Giannis. So, but I think you're going to get me on this one. Everybody seems, you know, all the media outlets, people who cover the NBA like us, they all believe that the Pacers are going to take them out.
And you know, the interesting thing about the Bucks here is what do they do with Doc Rivers, right? They fired their head coach. They brought in Doc Rivers as an interim. He clearly hasn't been the remedy. They may be too early to say the word rebuild, but they may be in the jam, similar to the Phoenix Suns, similar to the Warriors. Not have the right pieces, but over the cap and not much options to see what you can do. But we'll see what they do. But this is going to be an interesting offseason for Milwaukee if they're eliminated right now.
Yep. You know, and it's all about matchups in the NBA, right? And this was a bad matchup. And you saw it, you know, with the Pacers being a fast moving team and the Bucks are kind of more slow trotting, you know, more of a defensive minded team. But without their two top players, man, They have no shot, man. It's going to take a Herculean effort by all of these scrubs that are playing right now to push it to the next game, and hopefully Lillard and Giannis make an appearance, because that's their only hope to salvage the series.
They're playing right now.
We'll find out by the end of this podcast, and I'll probably look at the scores at some point to see where we're at. But all right, so the next series, the last series in the East that we'll talk about, is the Cavs versus the Magic. The series is tied at 2-2. We both picked the Cavs, so I think we're both okay there. You picked them in six, I picked them in six, so there's no we're not going to gain anything in that moment. But with that respect, but you know, right now they're playing right now, and I know it was a really close game. Initially, it was going to be like it looked like the Cavaliers were going to be blowing them out, but the Cavaliers just beat them, so they just won by 1 point, 104-103. So we are looking now at a 3-2 Cavs lead. And then going back down to Orlando for game six. So we'll see what happens. But to me, the Cavs are a better team.
They are.
Magic, they're a younger team. You know, they have two emerging, not I want to say superstars, but really good perennial type all-star players in Franz Wagner as well as Paolo Banchero. Wow. I got to tell you, man, the last time I was talking to William about this a few podcasts ago, dude, I had no idea that's how you pronounce it. I was always wondering when I heard it in college, by the guys who call the games in college when they were calling the Duke games, they're like Paolo Banchero. I'm like, oh my God, these guys, man, they're just butchering them. It's Banchero, man, right? Banchero, man. But you know what? I looked it up. It's an Italian. What it means, it's a banker in Italian. So I guess he's got some Italian roots. So it is Banchero. That's how you pronounce it, because it means banker in Italian. But anyway, so the reason I'm bringing that up is just because Paolo Banchero is one of the emerging talents in the NBA, and he's kind of like a LeBron-like type player, can do pretty much anything on the floor with his size. He can shoot, he can defend, he can rebound, he can pass. So he's one of these freak shows, but he's just on a team that's very defensive-minded. They have a very defensive-minded coach. I think that's a team that I think is one to watch out for in the coming years, just because of the youth movement that they have. And, of course they have some veterans there, but they're not like really great veterans, but they're there just to make a more balanced team. But, the Orlando Magic are a team to watch out, but I think the Cavs, I think they're going to succumb to the Cavs.
I agree. Outside of the teams that had to play in the play-in, the Magic were to me my least impactful team in the playoffs, in terms of 1 through 6s. And they've actually showed me a lot. I thought Cleveland would at least split the home series with the Magic and come back up 3-1, and potentially end it tonight. And the Magic really kind of held their own at home. So they've impressed me. I think they're a little further ahead than I thought they would be. I knew that they'd be pretty good in a couple of years, but they're really showing some fortitude here and just kind of, being down 2-0. That's usually where the youth kind of packs it up and says, all right, maybe we're still learning. But nah, they've held their own. And if they can hold them off again for game six, then they're coming back to Cleveland for a game seven, which should be pretty exciting. At that point, it's anybody's game.
Yeah, the only thing is what I think they're really missing, man, is a really good point guard. I don't know if Jalen Suggs is a true point guard. I think he's a combo guard, right? I mean, and I think for that team to flourish, they need a true point guard, in my opinion. But Jalen Suggs is a decent. It's no knock on Jalen Suggs. He's a great player. He's a good two-way player. A good two-way player. He can play D. He's a bigger guy, but I just don't think he's the right fit for a point guard on that team. He's a good fit for the team. I just don't think he's the right point guard for that team. So Markelle Fultz are the guys that are essentially the point guards on that team.
Less so than point guard, you want a more of a distributor of that team. Everyone's a little offensive minded. So if you can get someone in maybe not necessarily in the point position, but someone in any position that is more of a distributor, than that team would
fit. Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that. I can agree with that.
Yeah. So all right. So let's move on to the West. So we have OKC. They just beat the Pelicans 4-0. Unfortunately, we get no points in this one because we both picked the Warriors to beat the Pelicans and be the number 8 seed to go against OKC. And we thought the Warriors were going to be a bad matchup for OKC. But, man, after watching the OKC play, man, that team is legit, man.
I'm going to tell you right now, had the Warriors won, I think they weren't beating Oklahoma. I mean, the one thing from a Warriors fan perspective, The one thing that I'm looking at is some of these young teams, you know, Minnesota, Oklahoma, you know, the Mavs to some extent, they're tough squads. I don't think the Warriors would have beaten any of those teams. At first I'm thinking, they might have had them, but I don't know, man. These are tough squads.
You know what it is? That they're young, but they're very mature young, right? They play, they have a very polished game, and that, I got to give kudos to Mark Daigneault, who now is now the coach of the year. He won coach of the year for the OKC Thunder. He's got that team playing like freaking vets, man. And they are the youngest. I think they're the youngest team ever in history to go be the number one seed in the playoffs for the West. They're the youngest team. I don't know what their average age, but it's like less than 24 years old. It's crazy how young that team is, man. And they're this good already. So,
and they got a whole load of draft picks that
they're playing. They have draft picks galore, man. Yes, they do. Unbelievable how much draft capital they have. They can wheel and deal with anybody, or keep all of that. I don't think they're going to keep all of that, you know. I think Presti is their GM. He's pretty shrewd. I know he's going to make some trades, and he's going to bring, you know, he can bring in, you know, any of these guys who just got ousted, like a Kevin Durant, LeBron, Draymond Green, whoever, right? I mean, all these guys, you know, depending on how well they do this year, if they don't make it this year, they got all these draft picks that they can go ahead and wheel and deal to get some significant player in the return, right? So they're in the driver's seat right now. That team is very, very scary. And, you know, it's no surprise now after watching them how well they just dismounted a pretty good Pelicans team. I think without Zion Williamson, though, I think that pretty much sealed the fate of the Pelicans. But with Zion, I think that series would have gone a lot farther. But, yeah. Even then, I think they still would have succumbed to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Team is legit.
I agree. Legit. Oklahoma also is historically, you were saying, you know, you're talking about Pressey. Oklahoma historically doesn't want to pay its players or doesn't want – I shouldn't say that. Let me rewind that.
Well, they're a small market team.
Doesn't want to go team. Over the cap. Doesn't want to pay luxury tax.
They can't because their cap is less, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm wondering what they're going to do with, you know, Shai Gilgeous and Giddey and some of those guys when they – Holmgren, when they start demanding
– Demanding more money.
Yeah, are they gonna roll them out or are they going to – because, you know.
You will see, man. I mean,
fans will be like, give me. I'll take some of that.
Oh, yeah. Hell, yeah. There's a lot of teams out there that are just salivating on some of these players. I mean, you know, the guys who really impressed me on that team right now, Jalen Williams is one of their better players. He came from Santa Clara along with Brandon Podziemski. They were actually teammates. Who thought Santa Clara had this program? Jeez, man. I mean, I thought it just stopped when Steve Nash was there. No, man, they're continuing. That team is pretty – I mean, they're bringing up prospects like this. Man, I'm impressed by that guy, Jalen Williams.
All right.
So let's go on to the next series. We have the Nuggets. They just beat the Lakers last night and it was 4-1. We both picked the Nuggets. You know, I have the Nuggets going to the championship game. You don't, but you know, that was no surprise. It's a bad matchup for the Nuggets, for the Lakers, excuse me. But I got to give it to you, man. The Lakers, man, they played hard, man. And and LeBron, I don't know how he's doing what he's doing at 39. Oh my God, that guy's got the unbelievable genes. I mean, he is playing honestly probably the best basketball I've seen him play in his life, man. Honestly, I mean, because he can shoot now. He didn't have that before in his youth. You know, he couldn't shoot, and you know he's still the same distributor. I would say he's a little bulkier now. He has an inside game that he really didn't have in his youth either. So I LeBron is legit, man. He's unbelievable, man.
Let me ask you this, Eddie, though. All right, so, I mean, obviously he's got Anthony Davis. The rest of the pieces, we can have an argument about how valuable they are. But they got those two pieces. If LeBron is playing the best he's ever played, why can't they get past the Nuggets? Are the Nuggets
they don't have enough of the talent. He needs help, man. Him and Anthony Davis and then D'Angelo Russell when he decides to show up, because he had a really horrible game a couple nights ago and then he came back and did well. Right. But they need more, man. Austin Reeves is a good player though. Austin Reeves is a good player. You know, I thought before the season, you know, when I was doing points on the board with Guillermo, I picked the Lakers to be actually the second seed in the West because I thought they were one of the deeper teams in the league. But I don't know if it's because of the structure of these of the talent that they have. I don't know, but or the coach is not putting the players in the right mixes and all that. I don't know, man. But they the ancillary players around LeBron and Anthony Davis, they're hit and miss right now. Except other than maybe Austin Reeves, other than that, and D'Angelo Russell's there too, but he's hit and miss. Rui Hachimura, hit and miss. He's not consistent, right? Yeah. So it's like they have this amalgamation of a bunch of these guys who are hit and miss. They need guys who are more hit, right? That are more consistent. And they just have a bunch of inconsistent players around two superstar athletes.
I will say this. When it comes to LeBron, offensively, he is as good as he's ever been. But defensively,
absolutely.
He takes a lot of plays off on the defense.
Absolutely. He has to because that team needs him on the offensive side. He has Anthony Davis to anchor the defense for him.
Yep.
And the rest of the team plays pretty good D anyway. But, yeah, LeBron, he needs to save his energy for the offense.
But I think that's where we can have an argument whether or not he's the best he's ever been, right? Because he can't do it.
Yeah, I hear you because he's not a two-way player. But offensively, yes, you're right. Good point. I would say offensively he's the best because I was looking at it from an offensive standpoint.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I was making that argument. So, yeah, you're right. He's not an overall best player right now, but offensively, I think he's the best he's ever been at 39. It's crazy, man. And he's only got 1 year left on his contract, and I think it's a player option. And, man, there's all kinds of speculation of where he might be going, man. So we'll get to that on the next
segment. They interviewed him, and he refused to
– to comment on that.
On his decision. He's just going to go home, spend time with the family, get ready for USA basketball. And that's all he would say. No more.
That's all he would say, man. But we all know, man, he wants to play with the chef at some point in his career, man. And you never know, man. There's even talk and speculation about maybe bringing Kevin Durant back and then figuring out a way to take, LeBron at some kind of, minimum contract so he can get his last ring before he retires. We'll see, man. But there's all kinds of speculation about that. But we'll touch upon that on the next segment because I know that's going to be something we're going to talk about, which of the Warriors doing. I know LeBron's name has already come up in the past with the Warriors. So, all right. So then the next series, we're going to talk about the Wolves. The Wolves just dismantled the Suns 4-0. Dismantled them, man. Dismantled them. And you know what? A couple episodes ago, when we were talking about the fantasy GM aspect, and we were picking the five players that we think would be the best for our, to play against anybody in the league. And then you put Anthony Edwards as one of your guys. Yeah. And I'm like, whoa, really? Man, that dude is a beast.
He is.
He's a beast.
He's a monster.
He's a freaking monster. And he's so freaking athletic, right?
Yeah.
And offensively, he's very skilled. Defensively, he's good. He's just not—he's not the same defensively as he is offensively.
But he puts forth the effort, though.
He does. Yeah. But man, that dude is a beast, and he is— the NBA is on notice with this guy, man. I mean, he's got that killer instinct too, and he's cocky, man. He's already talking smack to Kevin Durant. That's a guy that he looked up to, in his youth, right? And he's just barking at Kevin Durant, and it's like, whoa! Everybody's kind of making comparisons right now to him being possibly the next Jordan. Like, there's comparisons to Jordan right now. I wouldn't go that far right now, but you never know, right? I mean, he's on that trajectory because he's so dominant. He's only in year four right now, and he has the potential of going all the way to the NBA Finals. The Wolves go as that guy goes, but they have, Rudy Gobert who anchors that defense. You have Karl Anthony Towns, who's a very skilled offensive player. They have the general of the floor and Mike Conley, one of your favorite players. But they have a lot of ancillary players that are good on that team, man. So that team is definitely one to watch out for.
They're my pick to represent the West in the finals. I got them beating Denver, which we're going to find out here next round.
We're going to find out the next round, man. Exactly. Yep. So what about the Suns, man? Wait, do you think the Suns? They are in a world of hurt. I agree. I think so too. And we'll see if, Kevin Durant stays. I don't know. We'll see if Bradley Beal, what happens with him, the rest of the team, they were counting on those three guys just gelling and taking over games. And they, I think it took a lot of time for those guys to gel, just because they were in and out of the lineups a lot of times throughout the year. But, it became very evident that those three alone can't carry that team. They had other guys in there, but they're not that deep. I thought they were deeper when I first saw them as a squad before they played. But, just the way their rotations kind of played out, they need help, man. They need a lot of help.
So yeah, they need help. And, you know, the guy that I really, you know, in the Bay Area, there's a lot of talk. Hey, we got to do something for Steph, or, you know, or Steph's in his, still in his prime, you know, and I've always argued, hey, he's got four championships. You know, he's had his time. Yeah, I want to win more, but with Devin Booker, he really kind of got duped, not duped. He really got impacted. You know, he's a hell of a player. I think when they had, you know, Chris Paul on the team, and they had Bridges, and they had some of those players, I think they were in a better position than they are right now. And, you know, Durant's got a couple of championships. Beal, I think they're going to – that's a regretful signing, I think, with Beal.
He had a lot of back issues and other injury issues. I didn't think that guy was that much of a prune, honestly, man. But, you know, you just never know what happened to these guys, man. You know, you just never know. I mean, some guys just, you know, unfortunately, some physiology, some people just get hurt more often and they can't explain why. You know, some people more prone to injuries, you know.
Yeah, there's three skills to make a player great, right? There's work ethic, there's skill, and there's availability. If you don't have any of those three, if you're missing one of those three, your greatness is diminished.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Yeah. So, all right. So then the last one before we go on to the next topic. So we got the Clippers and the Mavs, man. So this series is tied 2-2. We both picked the Mavs. The Clippers, you know, they're showing up, man. Without Kawhi Leonard, I'm impressed, man, because I thought without Kawhi Leonard last game that they were in trouble being down 2-1, but they actually tied it up and they're now going back, you know, to LA. They're going back to LA. Yeah, they're going back to LA, I think. Yeah, they're going back to LA for game five right here. So, the Clippers are showing up, man, without Kawhi Leonard. Paul George has been playing well. I mean, James Harden's played well. Russell Westbrook, you know, he's playing well. I mean, that guy's an ultra competitor.
He is fiery, man. He is
a fiery guy, man. I mean, he'll fight anybody, man. That guy, he's just so fiery, man. But, you know, the Clippers are, you know, we all thought that they were a dangerous team. But without Kawhi Leonard, we don't know how bad this injury that Kawhi Leonard has, because he, you know, he has this inflammation of his knee that's been kind of an issue, you know, for a lot of his career on and off, you know. So he's been battling this issue. And if they don't have Kawhi, I don't think they go anywhere, man, honestly. But they're still a dangerous out. So what do you think?
Princess Leia once said, you're our only hope. And in regards to the old guard, that's really all that's left in terms of only hope. You know, George, Harden, you know, Westbrook, that's the old guard. That's all that's left.
Yeah, you're right.
Everybody else is young.
You're right. Are they the only ones of the old guard that are
left?
You're right. You're right.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to count Porzingis as an old guard, maybe. But
you're right.
That's it.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you're right. So they're the last ones of the old guard to kind of represent the old school, man.
Yeah.
Because the new school is a problem right now, man.
They're only going to get better. Like,
I know.
Are on the decline. The Warriors are on the decline. The Clippers are on the decline. They're not going to get better. They're just getting worse. And all these other squads are just getting better. You know, and we're not even mentioning the San Antonios and the, you know, some of these other teams that are coming up. I'm telling you, man, this old guard, you know, people are like, oh, I'm so impressed with, you know, Steph is 36 and playing well. LeBron, I think this is like a cliff potentially coming where just, boop, you guys are out.
We forgot about the Milwaukee Bucks. They're another one. They're old guard too.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. So what about the Mavs? Do you think that the Clippers are going to ultimately lose to the Mavs? I mean, we both picked the Mavs, but based on what you've seen, do you see the Mavs still beating them?
No, I still like the Mavs. Kawhi's availability or lack thereof is gonna matter in the long haul. I think the Mavs are gonna pull it out. I mean, Kyrie's doing well. You know, obviously Luka, who's a potentially new face of the NBA, he's a gamer. I mean, I think they're you know, Luka's shown a lot in a lot of series in the past couple of seasons. He's a gamer. He'll when the chips are tight, he'll step up, and I think they'll win it.
All right, man. Cool. Well, so here we go. So where are we at on our standings right now with respect to our brackets? You have 6 points. I have 6 points. We're tied right now. You got 2 points for the Wolves winning in 6 games because I picked them to win in 7 games. So you got that one because you were closer. And then I had the Nuggets winning in 5, which actually happened. You had them winning in 6. So I got 2 points for that. So it's 6-6 right now. We'll find out more next week on where we're at on these standings. So that's it for this topic, because we're definitely well over time. We definitely
spent more time on this than we had intended.
Yeah, that was a good segment. So yeah, I know we're going to dovetail into, you know, we've already been kind of insinuating what we're going to talk about with the Warriors offseason. I know that's a topic that you wanted to cover. Yeah. So let's go ahead and get into that, man.
All right. So a little nerd alert right now. I'm just going to go over roughly the numbers, and then we can talk about, we can elaborate more on what the Warriors can do. But basically for anybody out there that's listening that doesn't know, there's a couple of different things that goes on with the NBA salary cap. There is the cap, which is projected to be $141 million for next year, which basically means, you know, that any combination of salary that you're paying out can exceed $141 million. It is a soft cap. There's things like bird's rights, which allow people to teams to overpay their players or pay them over the cap. But that is the initial cap. Then there's a luxury tax, which is projected to be at $172 million. And then there's the first apron, which is – now, these are all ceilings. So the $172 million, you got to stay under the luxury tax. And then There's the first apron, which is $189.5 million. So you got to stay under these. The Warriors are out of the cap. They're over the cap. No matter what they do, they're over. And in regards to the luxury tax, they would be under it or within it if they don't bring back Chris Paul. There's another
What's the current luxury? What's the current salary cap for the Warriors right now? What's the current cap right now is for the Warriors?
If the Warriors right now, not including Clay, if the Warriors, they have a team option for Chris Paul. Chris Paul's making $30 million, and they have an option for Gui Santos. Those are really the only two players they have an option for. So for them, if they keep everyone, they're at $174 million, which is $2 million over the luxury tax.
Exactly.
Correct. And if they decide not to keep Chris Paul, Gui Santos is give or take. It's not really going to matter. It's like a little under $2 million. So if they don't keep Chris Paul, they would be under the luxury tax by quite a bit.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So basically keeping Chris Paul is the difference between being over or within the luxury cap.
Okay.
Luxury tax. Yeah.
And you know, now that you kind of laid out the salary cap, luxury tax, first apron, what does that mean when a team violates these? What happens to them?
Absolutely. So if you are within the salary cap, you can still potentially sign players. But what you want to look for is when you're in that luxury tax field, that allows you to do a mid-level exception, which basically the league allows you an exception to bring on a player. If you're within the luxury tax, then you're allowed to sign a player for up to 4 years for an annual salary of $12.9 million. So that really is quite a variety of players. You really have a lot of options there. You might have a younger player who's on his way up who hasn't really hit that, so you can pick someone up, or a veteran who's pretty good.
Yep.
At, you know,
yep.
$12.9 for $4 million is not – that's a pretty decent amount. Once you hit the first apron, right, then that amount gets dropped to $5.2 million. So now you can only get a player that's $5.2 million. And then if you
over four years.
Correct. Sorry.
So 5.2 per year for 4 years is the max.
Correct.
5.2. Okay. Got it.
And then if you get into the second apron, which is go beyond that, then there is no exception. You're basically, you got to figure out how you're going to field a team.
Oh, wow. Yeah. But you have to have a minimum. I don't even know what the minimum amount of players you need to have on an NBA team. I think you need to have 12, I think, minimum.
Yeah, so. Correct. But I think there's, I don't want to say exceptions, but I'll have to look into it more. But if you draft a player, there's little things you can do. But in the Warriors case, you know, let's just say there's been some talk out there that, you know, Orlando or potentially some other teams are interested in Klay Thompson. If Orlando were to sign Klay, one of the numbers that have been bounced around is $30 million per year, right? So in theory, the Warriors could drop Chris Paul, give Klay Thompson that $30 million, and then only have the 5.2 mid-level exception to play around.
To bring another player in.
To bring anybody else in.
Oh, wow. Wow. But, you know, the thing is that, you know, that this begs the question, Tuan, based on what you've seen in the playoffs – and based on the composition of the Warriors roster without Chris Paul now and put in, you know, Klay Thompson and some other scrub at $5.2 million, you know, assuming that they can't get below the $178 million to get $12.9 million per year for another player, Do you think they have enough based on their composition without any trades to be competitive in the
West? And you know, as everyone here knows, I love the Warriors. I honestly, I've been racking my brain. I see no way out of this in terms of being just based. The more I watch the playoffs, the more I see the way things are developing. You know, I'm more and more of the opinion you have Steph and then everybody else is up for grabs. Like, not up for grabs, but everything else is a decision. The decision the Warriors need to make, in my opinion, fundamentally, they need to decide whether they're going to try to rescue what they've had. Yep. Divide it, do whatever, or in my opinion, what they should do is be realistic and start building and see how quickly they can build around someone like Steph and maybe have a serious conversation with Steph about, does he want to be here for that? You know, does he want to be part of this? Does he prefer to be somewhere else? Does he want to go home to Charlotte? You know, those type of questions. But we can talk about the players, and I know you have a list of players that we could fit.
Absolutely.
You know, yep, within that list, but I just don't, you know, even you were, and maybe, you know, I may have said this before, you know, I'm more of a negative guy. You've always been more of a positive guy. But even if they got Durant and they got, yes, LeBron, I still, yes, don't see them winning the championship. That's my honest opinion.
Okay. But, okay, if that means if they had LeBron and Curry and Durant and maybe some of these, you know, a bunch of guys that they already have on the team, like, you know, Moses Moody, Pajemski, Trace Jackson Davis, you know, Gary Payton, you know, all those guys still on the team, and then some other guys to fill in the blanks, right?
Correct.
You're saying that right there wouldn't present any problems in the West based on what you've seen in the playoffs right now.
That's how I feel. I mean, I feel like, you know, number one, presuming we keep Draymond, right? Presuming.
Yep.
There's okay. a conundrum to me between distribution of the ball between who's going to do it, LeBron or Draymond. So right off the bat, there's that conversation. So there's also an element of chemistry with, yes, if we had Steph, Draymond, LeBron, and Durant, you know, name wise, that sounds awesome, but I just don't, I don't see it. I don't see them being able to win it.
Yeah. You know, and it's probably, I mean, look, it's a possible scenario that definitely could play out, but it would take, you know, one of the guys, namely more LeBron, to be able to take less in his last year, you know, because it's an option, player option for the last year. And if he declines, he's a free agent, and then he can go ahead and, you know, sign up whatever he's, you know, what he commands, right? And if he really, really wants to play with the Chef, which he has definitely made it very clear that he would like to, yeah, this is his chance, right? To take, you know, the $12.9 million per year, right? To the exception, right? But we'll see, man. But
you know, I hear you. I don't know if you remember, but a ways back, you know, the Lakers had a, you know, I call it the Expendables scenario, you know, where all the old guard starts getting together to make a movie. And, you know, I don't know if you remember, they had Mitch Richmond on the Lakers, Karl Malone on the Lakers. They had, yes, they had a whole bunch of old guys that,
yeah,
never won it. And that's kind of what I'm envisioning that. And furthermore, to get Durant, you're probably going to have to trade Kuminga. You're probably going to have to trade at least one or two first round picks. You know, so you're giving up your future. You know, and if it doesn't work out, what do you do? I mean, you got nothing. You got nothing for, yeah, the future. To me, you grab Kuminga. You grab, you know, Pajemski, Trace Jackson. You know, whatever your key pieces are, if you can get something for Draymond, if you can get something for Wiggins, if you can get, you know, Looney's on his last year, if you can get something for Looney, then maybe you start doing that and then bring yourself. Because I believe this year is the year the Warriors lose their first round pick to Memphis for that Andre Iguodala trade that was in place. Right. So they won't have a first round pick this year, at least not one at the current moment. And so they give it a year, and then next year they start looking at the draft and seeing what they can do. But I just don't know if there's any – I don't know if there's a savior situation here.
Well, that brings us to, you know, some of the players based, yeah, on the numbers that you've given me, you know, with the 12.9 mid-level that I think the Warriors are definitely aiming to get to in order to be competitive next season. You know, it's probably going to be one of the two scenarios. One that you've already laid out is it's going to be, you know, Curry and then – bring in a whole new clan of people to supplement, you know, Curry and some of the other guys that we have on the team that are not, namely not Klay Thompson and Draymond Green, right? Mm-hmm. Or the other scenario is, you know, keep most of what you have right now, maybe not have, maybe Klay is gone, maybe, Chris Paul is gone, and maybe, maybe they keep Draymond Green, although there's a lot of people that probably want him out, because of the antics that, he's put the organization through.
And we talked about that heavily last week.
Absolutely. If you haven't listened to that podcast, please take a listen. We covered it. It's been very well received. We definitely got personal because we correlated to some of the experiences that we've had in our lives. So definitely take a listen. But yeah, we'll see, man.
Let me ask you this real quick.
Yeah.
So the Warriors could, if Lakeup is willing to pay the luxury tax, could bring almost the same squad back from last year.
Yes.
Because they can pay Klay whatever, pretty much whatever he wants, because he's a bird's right. Which bird right, for those that don't know, means you can pay your player over the cap because he's been with your team three years or so. And so they could pay Klay $30 million. They could retain Chris Paul for $30 million. They'd be, man, in the $210 million range, somewhere in that vicinity. So at that point, they're repeat offenders. I don't know the tax triple, quadruple.
Yeah, it's a big,
I don't have all those details, but would you welcome that?
Well, so here's the devil's advocate to this whole argument, right? Is that, if Draymond Green did not miss 20 games, if Chris Paul didn't break his hand, we can always play the if game, right? Mm-hmm. But if that did not happen, the Warriors would definitely have been battling for a top four, seed in the West. I mean, they were already had two more wins than last year, and last year they were a six seed. And this year they got two more wins and they were the 10th seed, right? So just imagine how many more games they could have won if that had not happened. So that there's that argument, right? It's like, hey, if that had not happened, shit, maybe the team would still be really, really good. Yeah. And that's the argument that kind of supports maybe like of kind of saying, hey, if the coach feels we can win with this team and we just need a couple other players is kind of not big guy, big, signings, but some other guys, that we can get at 12.9, hey, maybe we can run it back.
But given the scenario, they won't have that. They won't have the 12.9 to deal with. And furthermore, in your honest opinion, grab Minnesota, Oklahoma, or Denver. That team, do you think beats any of those three teams?
Not currently as constructed, but maybe with some other guys that maybe we can talk about, on some of these players, right? So let's go through that, man. So, the scenario that I'm going to go ahead and paint out is I'm going to go ahead and talk about, let's just the 12.9 numbers what we're aiming for right now, right?
Yep.
So these are I looked at the free agents that are available.
So, for clarity, real quick before you get into it, sorry, I know I can cut you off.
No worries.
So to get the 12.9, that means we don't re-sign Klay, most likely.
Correct.
And we release Chris Paul. So those two things are in play. Just so everyone's aware that that's the team we're talking about. No Klay.
So it'd be a Curry and Draymond and Wiggins. Probably I don't know what happens with Wiggins. I know they're looking at maybe moving him, but let's just assume that, Wiggins stays. Right. All right. So assuming that we're in that 12.9 million per year, mid-level exception, these are the free agents that I thought would be great fits for the Warriors based on their style of play and, based on, just the way they are, right. As players. So I'm going to go through the free agents first. And then at that point, because there's very limited of those players, and a lot of those guys are not really difference makers, then I'm going to go ahead and go through, players that I think are attractive via trade, right? I'm going to cover guards, forwards, and centers that are ancillary players, not necessarily like star power kind of guys, but more rotational pieces that I think could be good additions to the Warriors. And then the next after that will be the attractive difference makers. These are guys that I think could definitely supplement scoring, for Curry or maybe make up, in some other area, whether it be defensively or just a better all around player. These are difference makers. And I broke that out from guards, forwards to centers. So let me go ahead and go through that. So the attractive free agents that I thought would be good fits for the Warriors in order of value, Isaiah Hartenstein, center for the New York Knicks. Yes. He's at $8 million I think that guy would be a great fit for the Warriors. I mean, he does everything that they need. I mean, he's essentially another Trayce Jackson Davis, essentially, right? A little longer, probably a better defensive player because he's been in the league longer than Trayce Jackson Davis. But Trayce Jackson Davis, I think that's kind of – he'll have some other, you know, veteran to kind of help him. They're both lefties, right? So I think Isaiah Hartenstein would be a great fit. Next guy, a guy that the Warriors have had already in the past, the Tsunami Bappe, Kelly Oubre. Kelly Oubre, I think, has been playing very well with the Sixers. He's revitalized his career being on the Sixers. He kind of got lost in the shuffle after he left the Warriors. You know, he kind of, you know, he went to Charlotte. He didn't really pan out there, but with the right team and the right pieces around that guy, he's a good player. I mean, he plays good D. He's long. He's a streaky shooter, but he's only $2.8 million, man. I mean, that's a pretty good fit in my opinion. So
I agree. He's more defensively inclined than offense, but yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So then the next guy I have is Miles Bridges of the Charlotte Hornets. Again, $7.9 million. Another lefty. He's a power forward type who can shoot. He plays decent D. He's very explosive offense. You know, he's an athletic guy. He's had some discretion, discretions in the past that, you know, he got, you know, essentially, fined by the NBA. Was, you know, he wasn't playing for a while because of these discretions, but he's back. He got reinstated. You know, I think he'd be a great fit. All right. So out of those three right now, who do you think that you would like out of those three the most? That would be a good fit.
Well, okay, so the first thing that I would say is probably I'd lean towards Bridges because I think that he's more of a 3-and-D guy than Hartenstein is. Hartenstein can play the low post, but
yes,
like you said, I think we have a little bit of a duplication there with him and Trayce Jackson. I mean, if we could swap one for the other, then maybe I'd lean a little more towards that. But I think I'd stick with Bridges. I think we need length. I think we need, you know, a little bit of stretching the court. And out of those players, I think that Bridges is the one. I would rank Bridges first, Hartenstein second, and then Oubre third.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. All right. So, okay. Then the next, I have four more players in this category. So I have Daniel Tice of the Clippers, $6.9 million. He's another center. And the reason why I picked these guys is because the Warriors need length, man. They need length. They're a smaller team, even though they're the best a rebounding team in the NBA. That's all effort, but they need length, man. They, some of these, you know, younger squads are all long, right? And they need that to be able to compete. So Daniel Tice is another guy. Another guy who used to play for the Warriors is Alec Burks. He's at $10.2 million, right? Is he? That's why I kind of put him lower, because is he really worth that $10.2 million for what he brings? You know, he's kind of an older guy. He's a good sixth man, seventh man off the bench. But he's been with the Warriors. Warriors really liked him. They cut ties with him because they couldn't really afford him. And they thought he'd be better elsewhere anyway, because the Warriors were, at the time, they thought were in rebuilding until they won the championship again. But Alec Burks, I think, would be a good fit. The other guy that I'd be a real good fit for them is Kyle Anderson, slow-mo. He's, in my opinion, another Chris Mullin, in the way that he can get to wherever he wants at the speed that he wants and still be effective, right? So, Kyle Anderson is a guy that I think would be a good fit. He's at $9 million. All right. Again, these guys are kind of towards the end, yeah, just because of how much they cost versus, you know, the fit for the team, right? That's kind of why I put him in this order. And the last guy that I have is Talen Horton Tucker. He's plays for the Utah Jazz. He's $10.3 million. These are the guys that I think would be good free agent, attractive free agents for the Warriors to pursue in order to kind of build up the roster up again, right? So out of all these players, you already mentioned Miles Bridges. Out of these other last four players, anybody else stand out to you that you think?
No, I mean, I'd probably go with Horton Tucker of that group.
Okay.
Okay. For similar reasons that I gave before, that's kind of, you know, where I'm – that's kind of where I'm leaning. I mean, Alec Burks, I like him, but I don't see it being a fit. Tice, big guy. Again, same argument as, you know, Jackson Davis. And who was the other one? I missed one.
Kyle Anderson. Yep.
Kyle Anderson might be actually kind of interesting. However, the problem, and I mean, we can talk about it when you get to your stars, is, you know, I've said this before. You know, one of my low key favorite players for Minnesota. Dang, I forgot his name already. The point guard,
Mike Conley.
Thank you. Yep. Getting old sucks. Mike Conley.
Senior moment.
Yeah, exactly. Senior moment. So Mike Conley and his – the way he fits in Minnesota where he just fills in when he needs to, that's right. Ultimately what I think they need to do with Steph Curry. And my issue is that obviously none of these players can unburden him from that, right?
Right.
And so even though they're good fill-in players – the conversation we're having is we're going to presume that the team that they have right now is good enough. And I just, again, I'm going to have
correct. A hard time. That's correct. That. And that's the scenario right now is that these guys, the guys that I'm targeting right here for as free agents would be guys to kind of run it back with most of the team that they have right now with the argument that the management felt that they were still a very competitive team and they had some of these, you know, discretions, unfortunately, that happened with Draymond Green and, of course, the injury to Chris Paul, that just kind of messed up their chances to be in the playoffs, right?
But, so that's the thinking. Of that batch, I'd probably go with Slo-Mo.
Okay. Yeah. All right, so you said Miles Bridges and Slo-Mo, Kyle Anderson. All right, so now, this is the scenario now. If they are going to go ahead and get rid of the big three as it stands today, you're getting rid of everybody, you're only really keeping, you know, Curry, right? Curry and a few others, you know, they're rookies and other guys like, you know, Gary Payton, Pajemski, you know, I don't know about Kevon Looney, but, you know, Trace Jackson Davis, maybe Kuminga. All right. That's the scenario, right? I'm assuming that Kuminga would stay, but, and then Wiggins would probably get traded. But let's all face it. Kuminga is probably the most desirable prospect the Warriors have for most GMs in the NBA. So likely if we're going to in this ancillary players via trade section that I'm going to go over some of these players, this is where I think maybe they keep Kuminga. But for the difference makers, that's when Kuminga is probably going to be gone. All right. So the ancillary players via trade, here are the guards. And again, this is an order of best fit for the Warriors and best value for the Warriors. Okay. Guards. Alex Caruso of the Chicago Bulls, $9.9 million. Guy's a beast defensively, a difference maker, I think, defensively. And he's a very, very just all-around good player, does everything well. Doesn't stand out in one area. He just does everything very, very well. Next guy I have is Ayo Dosunmu, same team, Chicago Bulls. He's $7 million. Similar player to Alex Caruso. That's why I'm thinking that they can get rid of one of these two because they're similar, right? I would say Alex Caruso is probably a little bit more polished. I was a younger guy, but I think those two guys would be great fits for the Warriors just because of their defensive presence. And I just think they're good all-around players. The next guy on the list is Delano Banton of the Portland Trailblazers. He is a combo guard, more of a shooting guard, small forward type. He's at $2.1 million. Played for the Boston Celtics. Didn't get really much playing time there, but when he kind of started showing his worth when he played for the Portland Trail Blazers, of course, a very diminished Portland Trail Blazer team that didn't really go anywhere. But I think that guy would be a good fit. Next guy, I think, would be Tyus Jones. Tyus Jones of the Washington Wizards. He's at $14.5 million. So again, these are players that we would get through a trade because that's over the mid-level exception of 12.9. We couldn't afford to get him as a free agent. He's not a free agent anyway, but 14.5 million means we have to trade for someone like that. And this guy he's a great backup point guard. I mean, that's what the Warriors need. They need a great backup point guard, especially if Chris Paul is gone. That's the scenario we're talking about. Chris Paul is gone, right? So Tyus Jones, I think, would be a great fit for the Warriors as a backup point guard to Steph Curry.
You don't think Lester Quiñones could fit that role?
Maybe, but not. I don't think he's really. I don't think he's a true point guard, man. I don't think he's a true point. Tyus Jones is a true point guard. I mean, he came out of Duke. He was a true point guard. Lester Quiñones is a combo guard. He's more of a scoring guard, in my opinion.
Yeah, he is. But okay, no, I hear you.
Okay, so out of those four players, Alex Caruso, Ayo Dosunmu, Delano Banton, Tyus Jones, who do you like?
Well, Caruso was at $9 million, right? I like Caruso.
9.9.
Yeah, I like Caruso. But I guess I would need a little more information as to who we're trading for these people. Like who are we giving up, like something like Kuminga? Because that's a no.
Well, right? So in this scenario, I'm thinking Kuminga isn't going to be commanded because I think the Warriors have other assets in order to attract GMs other than Kuminga to be able to get some of these players.
Correct.
All right. So that's the scenario.
So, I mean, if we can get something like, let me, okay, so let me throw this at you. Gary Payton II.
Yep.
Caruso. Who are you keeping?
Caruso.
So there's a potential trade.
Okay.
If they're both at about $9 million, right? Gary Payton's on for another year. I don't know Caruso's contract. How long? I don't know if is he a free agent?
No, these are just ancillary players that they would have to do via trade. These are not free agents. They have to trade for these guys.
Okay, let me ask you, Kevon Looney for Caruso.
I don't think the Chicago Bulls would do it. They know Caruso has a lot of people interested in him.
So you think they'd do it for Payton? See, if for a trade like that, I'd be on board.
Okay, I don't think Payton would be enough. It would be like a Payton and Moody type of thing, right? Or okay. Throw in a Guy Santos, something like that. It would be gotcha. Like that, well, right? Yep. So out of those four players, Caruso. You're saying Caruso is the guy that really attracts you.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to the next four, and then I'm going to the forwards and then centers. The next player is D'Anthony Melton. He used to play for the Memphis Grizzlies. He's now with the 76ers. He's been unfortunately had a lot of health issues this year. But he's at $8 million. He's an unrestricted free agent this offseason. So okay. That guy is a very good two-way player. He's more of a defensive-minded guy, but he can shoot. He's more of a 3-and-D type guy. So that's one guy I picked. Another guy is Jordan Goodwin. Jordan Goodwin of the Memphis Grizzlies. Again, he is a point guard type who played for the Suns. He actually started his career with the Suns. And then he's actually only at $1.86 million. So, you know, he kind of got a lot more playing time as the, you know, as Memphis Grizzlies were kind of starting to play their scrubs and just kind of see what they had. And he actually started playing pretty well. That's why he showed up on my radar. Next guy is Norman Powell of the Los Angeles Clippers. He is at $19.2 million. Mm. The reason why I put him this low is because that's a pretty hefty price tag, man, for the type of player that he is, right? And he's a good player. But man, I don't know. The Warriors, I don't think I think there's more value above him in this list, right? Yeah. And then the last player I have is Marcus Smart, a guy that I always thought would be a great fit for the Warriors, man. I always thought that guy was awesome when he was on the Celtics. He would be so awesome on the Warriors just because of his tenacity as a defensive player. He's like a Draymond Green without the attitude on the defensive end, but on the guard side, not on the forward side. This guy is, I think, a really good defensive player. But he had also had health issues, and he also plays for the Memphis Grizzlies. So out of those last four players, who stands out?
Let's see. Probably Melton.
Okay. Yeah, I would agree with you on that. I think Melton was a good fit, too. So, So let's go to the next one because I know we're getting over time here, man.
We may have to kill the last two topics.
We might have to just kill the last two topics and bring them out for next week. And sorry for the audience. Our intention is to try and keep this no more than an hour because – we feel that we lose you guys if it goes longer than that, right? So let's just go ahead and keep going. So forwards, these are ancillary players via a trade that would not involve Jonathan Kuminga, right?
Yep.
Forwards, Herbert Jones plays for the New Orleans Pelicans, very defensive-minded guy out of Alabama, where Latrell Sprewell went, $12.98 million, okay? Jared Vanderbilt, another defensive-minded guy, plays for the Lakers right now, played for the Utah Jazz. I always like that guy's just tenacity on defense. I think he's a great defensive player. And he can shoot the three, but not at a high percentage, but he's at $10.7 million. Okay, the next guy is Caleb Martin of the Miami Heat. $7.1 million. I think he's a good fit, too. Next guy, Lou Dort, $16.5 million. He's for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Very defensive-minded guy, was causing problems for Brandon Ingram in this matchup last. And Brandon Ingram just towers over him, but just the tenacity of this guy. This guy's built like a linebacker. I don't know if you remember, you know, you've seen this guy play, but he's from Arizona State, and just he was an undrafted player, and he's just a beast. He's just a big, strong guy, right? So he's more of a running back type, but playing in the NBA. So out of those five guys who stands out?
Yeah, I'd go with Martin for a couple of reasons. Number one, he's from the Miami Heat system. So, you know, he's going to be an intense player. He's going to have his defense. I think, you know, some of that toughness is what the Warriors need. So I'd probably go with Martin.
Okay. Martin. I like that pick too. To me, it was either Martin or Lou Dort. Those are the two guys I thought would be really good fits.
Yeah.
Okay. Next pool of players. Matisse Thybulle, He is also for the Portland Trailblazers, $11 million. Jairus Walker, who actually played for the Houston Cougars in college and actually plays for the Indiana Pacers, but doesn't play that much. I mean, the Indiana Pacers are pretty deep at that position. And I think Jairus Walker was some guy I thought would be a good fit for the Warriors. He's at $6.3 million. Next guy is Josh Richardson. Josh Richardson, let's see, where does he play right now? He plays for the Miami Heat, too. He's been hurt, so he's at $3 million. And the next guy is Gary Trent of the Toronto Raptors. He's at $17.2 million. Okay, out of those four players, who stands out for you?
I don't know a lot about most of these. I've watched Gary Trent, but I'm not exactly excited about getting him.
Okay, so none of these guys stand out to you?
No, none of them stand out.
I'm moving on. Moving on. Okay, Jonathan Isaac of the Orlando Magic has been hurt a lot in his career. He played for Florida State. Really good defender. 6'10", very long. He just had a lot of injury issues in his past. He almost actually took 2 years off because of his injuries. But when he's on the court, man, he's a problem, especially on the defensive side. And he can shoot the three at a decent clip. But you know, they manage his minutes right now. He doesn't play more than 20 minutes a game usually, just because of his past issues. And he's a younger guy. He's still like 26, 27 years old. He's not even that old. So I think, but he's at $17.4 million. So he commands a kind of high salary. Next guy I have is DeAndre Hunter of the Atlanta Hawks, $21.7 million. And then the last guy I have is Bruce Brown, formerly of the championship winning Denver Nuggets last season, and then got traded, right? So Bruce Brown is currently on the Indiana Pacers. No, he's at Toronto right now, Toronto Raptors. So he's at $23 million. Out of those guys, who stands out?
Too expensive. Isaac, do you know the extent of what his injuries have been? Lower body, upper body?
Knees. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably go with Brown, but he's too expensive. It's too much money for Brown.
Okay. And then the last guy, and this is the center. The only center I thought would be a good fit, you know, as a trade for the Warriors is another player who played for the Boston Celtics. Unfortunately, he had encountered some injury issues as well, but he plays right now for the Portland Trailblazers, but hadn't really played that much this season because of his injuries, and that's Robert Williams. Remember Robert Williams in the finals against the Warriors?
Yes.
Robert Williams, man. I mean, if he had not been injured in that finals, man, I think they would have taken out the Warriors, man.
Yeah,
he
was injured. I like him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's at $12.4 million. So that's why I think he'd be a decent fit. Again, these are ancillary players. Jonathan Kuminga is not involved. So we came up with the list. So you think you like Robert Williams?
Yeah, I like him quite a bit. Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. So this is the last segment, man. Okay. These are players that we would get via a trade, but they would involve Jonathan Kuminga because these are attractive difference makers. Let's get going. Guards. I have Josh Hart. You know how much I love Josh Hart, man.
I know.
Villanova kid. He played for
Let's pause as you say each thing. For me, I would not give up Kuminga for Hart right now. Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Okay, you wouldn't do that. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Deontay Murray of the Atlanta Hawks, $24.8 million.
All right. Now you're getting. Now you're pressing me.
All right.
I think I might.
Okay.
I think I might trade Murray for Kuminga. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Anthony Simons of the Portland Trailblazers, $25.8 million. Good shooter. Very good offensive, explosive player, man.
I think I do it.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So you like those guys. All right. Moving on. Let's go to the forwards. Okay. We have Jalen Johnson of the Atlanta Hawks, $4.5 million, formerly from Duke. Very good, long player, very defensive minded, has some offensive game. What do you think?
No, not for Kuminga.
All right. Moving on. Scotty Barnes of the Toronto Raptors.
You don't even got to continue. Yes.
Okay, Scotty Barnes. That excites you. Okay.
I do it.
Okay, okay. Evan Mobley of the Cleveland Cavaliers, $11.2
million. No. I'm keeping Kuminga.
Wow, dude, I would do that in a heartbeat. What are you thinking, man? Are you kidding me? Oh man, I would. That's exactly who they wanted James Wiseman to have the same game as that guy. because he has the same game as James Wiseman, but way more polished. Way more polished.
I'd rather have Allen.
Was it?
I'd rather have Allen.
Oh, Jared Allen? Okay, well, he's on the center list. He's on my list later, man. All right. Okay. So you wouldn't do it. Okay, Lori Markkanen of the Utah Jazz played for Arizona Wildcats in college.
Yeah, you're
like, nope. He's at $18 million.
Yeah, all right. No.
I think you're going to like this guy. Trey Murphy, $5.1 million, played for the New Orleans Pelicans, formerly from the Stanford Cardinal. Trey Murphy.
I like him. I just – what I'm trying to decipher here is that – Kuminga has the potential to be the leading scorer on the Warriors. And I'm trying to, as you're bringing this up, I'm trying to see if any of these players could do that.
Okay.
And I think Trey Murphy's more of a streaky player. I think Kuminga could be more of a consistent scorer for the long haul.
Okay.
So I would say no, although I like Trey Murphy quite a bit.
All right. And then the last guy on this list, and then I have centers, I only have five more players after this, is Mikal Bridges of the Brooklyn Nets. Formerly of the Phoenix Suns.
Would you do it? Yeah.
You would do that. Okay. So I see where you're going. All right. So far you like DeJounte Murray, Anthony Simons, Scotty Barnes, and Trey Murphy and Mikal Bridges. Those are the guys.
Trey Murphy was a no, not enough for Trey Murphy.
Oh, but, not enough. Okay. So Mikal Bridges. Okay. That's a yes. Okay. Yeah. All right. The last group, the centers. We have Naz Reid of the Minnesota Timberwolves, $13.9 million.
No, I'm going to say no.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next guy, Jarrett Allen, yes. $20 million. You already said yes. All right. So you like that guy. All right. Yeah. This guy, I know you're going to love. So I'll say his name. I know it's going to be a quick yes. Jaren Jackson Jr., $25.3 million of the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yes.
Yes. I agree. Jaren Jackson would be a great fit for the Warriors. Nikola Vucevic of the Chicago Bulls, $20 million.
No, I'm going to say no.
Wow. And I say yes.
I know you like him. I know you like him.
I say yes. Big time, yes.
I'm going to say, because
big time.
How old is he? He's on the older end.
Yeah, he's like 30, I want to say 31, 32-ish.
Yeah, in that range. For Kuminga, that's not, I don't like the age difference there. That's 10 years, bro.
Yeah, I know. But they, you know, if the Warriors are trying to win right now, man, to give, you know, one last hurrah for Curry, they're going to try and get whoever they can get to get him over the hump, man.
But, yeah.
So that's why I'm saying yes. So
yeah, I hear what you're saying, but I'm thinking they may get more out of Kuminga than they will get out of Vucevic in terms of just impact to Curry's career.
All right. So that's it, man. I mean, we went through the list. These are guys that I think would be good fits based on the salary cap discussion that we had, and the Warriors are definitely in a world of challenges here. Yes. And this offseason is going to be a very interesting offseason. It can go either way. You know, they're either going to stay with Curry and try and find other players, or they're going to keep the big three and sign free agents and ancillary players because they think they have enough to run it back based on their composition of the squad without, you know, Chris Paul having the hand injury and then Draymond Green being suspended for 20 games or missing 20 games. So
real quick, let me ask you before we go.
Yeah.
Do you think the Warriors should keep the core, or do you think they should move on?
Based on the money challenges that you've already kind of outlined, and based on the way the NBA is right now, based on what you're seeing with respect to the speed of the game and the athleticism that we're seeing right now, I think they can't keep the big three together anymore, unfortunately, unless they fill in the gaps where the big three are not necessarily starting on the floor, you know, at the same time. You know, if they come out, if they bring like Draymond Green and, you know, Klay Thompson coming off the bench and then have these other guys come in as the starting guys, then yes, that's the way to keep the big three together. But as far as the starting, you know, being the featured starting three of the five, I don't see it.
That's $25 million coming off the bench for Draymond, dude.
And I know.
Wiggins, that's $28 million coming off the bench. You're not going to win that way, man.
I hear you.
To me, they need to see what they can get for Wiggins and Draymond, and it breaks my heart, but I don't think they need to re-sign Clay. They need to start going in another direction. Unfortunately, that's my. If we want to just, you know, like you remember back in the day when Kareem was retiring, everywhere he'd go, you know, people give him gifts and he's retiring, you know, like if we want to do like the last hurrah, then that's fine. But I don't think they're going anywhere if they keep the core.
All right, man. Well, you know, we are definitely way over time here, man. We only went through two topics.
We
had intended to go ahead and cover two other topics, but I think we can go ahead and save those two topics for next week. That would be the Jonte Porter Band. We'll talk about that. And then, you know, after Steph and LeBron, you know, retire, you know, who's going to be who's going to get the baton or the torch from those guys and, you know, be the next face of the NBA for the next 10 to 15 years. That's a little sneak peek for next week. We intended to do it this week, but we don't want to, you know, take up an hour and a half of your time, right? We're already at an hour and 15 minutes. But anyway, that's Buzzer Beaters, episode 5. I'm Eddie Aparicio. That's Tuan Anthony Corral. Again, this is Buzzer Beaters, episode 5. You can find Buzzer Beaters at gremlingsmedia.com, Rumble, YouTube, or under the profile Gremlings Media, or your traditional podcast outlets such as Spotify, Google, Apple, and Pandora. All right, everyone. It was a great show. You know, we'll reconvene next week. If you haven't seen the interview by Big John of us, please take a listen. If you haven't seen any of our previous episodes, we have four previous episodes. Please take a listen. We've gotten good feedback and good views on that. So we'll go ahead and bid you good night. And until next week, have a good week.